Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find your momentum. My name is Jason Venkus. I am your host and the founder of Momentum. I'm an award-winning and published certified personal trainer and board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have the answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them for you. Tune in every week, currently at 3 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays, or listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find helpful videos at findingyourmomentum.com and on Facebook. Just search for Momentum Fitness and Health. And we are now live streaming on our private Facebook page for our private our paying members. We're also going to be, once we get another phone, we're going to be broadcasting also probably on Periscope, and eventually we'll figure out the YouTube thing too. Now, we don't normally advocate for pills and supplements, except in rare cases here at Momentum. As a matter of fact, we don't really have much, we're not really trying to sell a book, we're not trying to sell a product, we're trying to sell a message. But one supplement that everyone should be taking is actually B12. Now, today I'm going to tell you why you need it, where it comes from, and why you're not getting enough of it, even if you think you are. The argument has always been that vegans need it because they don't get it from dairy or meat. But 10% of Americans are B12 deficient, and a whopping 39% are borderline. Now, vegans only make up 2% of the population, but almost half of the population is extremely close to being B12 deficient. Now, the first thing you need to know is why we need B12. Why is it important for us? Well, the most important thing is to note is that our bodies do not produce it. We do not produce B12, so we have to get it from an outside source. B12 is a water-soluble vitamin, sort of, that is often known to boost brain health and memory. Those that have a deficiency are often described as airy or absent-minded. Now, it also helps convert carbohydrates into glucose or sugars so that the body can use them for energy. It can prevent brain shrinkage, which is a hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. It regulates the nervous system and reduces depression and anxiety naturally. It also sparks cellular reproduction to renew the health of hair, skin, and nails. And it works with B9 or folate to make new red blood cells and DNA. Now, in addition, B12 assists in the formation and maintenance of the myelin sheath, which is that protective layer that safeguards brain and the nervous system signals. Now, those are just a few of the many reasons that we need B12. There are many signs and symptoms of B12 deficiency: weakness, tiredness, or lightheadedness, rapid heartbeat or difficulty breathing, poor memory or difficulty concentrating, depression, anxiety, mania, numbness and tingling of hands or feet, difficulty with balance, poor coordination, pale skin and a sore tongue. Sore tongue is kind of a weird one. A salty taste in the mouth, easily brushing or bleeding gums, upset stomach or weight loss, diarrhea or constipation, and depression, irritability, paranoia, and hallucinations. Now, if you suspect that you might be deficient in B12, you can confirm it by asking your doctor to run some specific blood tests, either serum B12, methylmalonic acid, homocysteine, and then complete blood counts should tell you where your B12 levels are. So now let's look at where we actually get B12 from. Now, I said B12 is a vitamin. I said sort of, because it's actually a bacteria, and it's listed as cobalamin. It can be found in liver, salmon, fortified foods such as cereals, red meat, sardines, mackerel, fortified soy products, milk, and yogurt, kind of, but I'll get to that. And at one time, our soil was very, very rich in B12 as well. Now, there's this common misconception that only vegans and vegetarians suffer from B12 deficiency because they don't eat meat or consume dairy. Now, while a larger percentage of vegans are at risk from B12 deficiency versus omni-eating Americans, it's important to note that vegans make up 2% of the U.S. population. So I mentioned that before, 2% of the population, but remember I also said that 39% of the population is at risk for this deficiency. So that means even if all the vegans were at risk, 37% of the population of omni-eating Americans is still at risk. But why? Well, again, vegans aren't necessarily at risk due to lack of eating meat. Vegans can get supplements from fortified foods and some nutritional yeast, as well as fermented foods that contain B12 as well. But as I mentioned before, at one time our soil was rich with B12. And industrial farming practices, which use lots of chemicals to control pests and weeds, have degraded and poisoned our soil, killing off some of the nutrient content. Now, if you don't wash your fruits and veggies, you would get a decent amount of B12 bacteria in the soil. But you'd also get a mouthful of chemicals and toxins that we know are carcinogens. So it's hard for vegans to get the required amount of B12 and should supplement. But what about those that eat meat? Why are they at risk? We're eating meat. We're getting our B12. We're getting it from our fish and from our red meats and in our dairy. Well, I said B12 is a bacteria, so that's really important. Now, antibiotics kill both good and bad bacteria, leaving your meat with little to no B12 at all. Antibiotics just don't go in there and kill all the bad bacteria and leave the good. If it did, there wouldn't be any cases of C. diff in hospitals. So no. It kills all of it. Now, listen to this from the genetics lab at Utah University. Antibiotics kill not only the bad bacteria, making you sick, but also your resident friendly bacteria. Friendly bacteria helps to keep you healthy in many ways. So when antibiotics kill friendly bacteria, your health can suffer because you lose these benefits. Additionally, losing friendly bacteria can give other types of bacteria room to multiply, leading to opportunistic infection. Sometimes opportunist infections happen when bacteria from the environment get into your body and overrun the friendly bacteria damaged by any antibiotics. Now, other times, opportunistic infection begins when antibiotics disturb the balance of your resident microbes, and normally, friendly bacteria multiply too quickly and become harmful. So, it's a little bit of the history on that, a little bit about antibiotics. They go in and they kill the good and the bad bacteria. So, we want to keep our good bacteria. What about those who consume dairy and eggs? Well, dairy is pasteurized. And pasteurization is another method that is used to kill bacteria. So now we run into the same problem as antibiotics. Not all types of bacteria are harmful. That friendly bacteria, like the lactobilious and the saccharomyces, these take up residence in the human gut and crowd out the harmful bacteria. At least they can. Beneficial bacteria are the same ones used to ferment and culture foods. So these helpful microorganisms also keep the gut healthy, in part by digesting fiber to produce food for the cells that line the intestines. So healthy intestines do a better job of digesting food and are a crucial part of the human immune system because they keep our pathogens out but let in nutrients. Now, foods rich in probiotic bacteria include things like yogurt, if it's unpasteurized, kefir, cultured butter, and raw sauerkraut. Now, if you can't avoid eating meat and poultry that is raised with antibiotics, and you really, really, really should, if you can, you really need to supplement to get adequate levels of B12. So again, it's not just vegans. You're not getting a lot of B12 from your meat and from your dairy because of the antibiotics that's used or the pasteurization that's used, and it's killing that good bacteria. Now, if you eat cold water, wild-caught fish 3 times a week, you're probably okay. Now, I'm not talking about genetically modified, farm-raised, but wild-caught and cold-water fish. So also eating fermented foods, like I just mentioned, are going to help as well. Now, vegans, you need to eat fermented foods and likely supplement as well. Your options are things like tempeh, natto, sauerkraut, miso, non-dairy yogurt, and, of course, everybody's favorite, kombucha. So, yes, a large majority of people really should be supplementing with B12. My suggestion is to find a methylcobalamin spray, not cyanocobalamin, but methylcobalamin. Cyanocobalamin is bonded with cyanide, and we don't really need that in our system either. Now, pills are not always easily absorbed by the body, so that's why I suggest the spray. So whether you're vegan, whether you eat meat, or whether you're a vegetarian, so if you're somewhere in the middle, most likely you're not getting enough B12. If you're eating a fair amount of fermented foods, if you're eating some foods that are fortified with B12, most times it's cyanocobalamin, but you are going to get some B12 that way. So try and find the methylcobalamin spray and add that just a spray a day, depending on where you're at with your B12 levels. So if you're looking for more information on health and fitness, please find us at findingyourmomentum.com and on Facebook, just by searching Momentum Fitness and Health. We're going to be back with WellFit Radio Chicago in just a few weeks. We may take a brief pause, likely with a new time, maybe a new date, as my life situation is changing. So until then, let me know what we can do to help you find your momentum.
That's all.